Hey there, podcast family. T-Bone here to talk about the 3D Dentist Digital Implant Continuum. Are you ready to start placing dental implants, but feeling a bit hesitant and or overwhelmed? I know that feeling. I've been there. Let's change that together. Imagine not just learning about dental implants in a classroom, but actually performing surgeries on real patients right here in North Carolina, guided every step of the way by our expert 3D mentors. This is dental implant learning at its best, using techniques that are safe, predictable, and confidence-boosting. They're exactly what I use in my own practice, so you know they work. Our course goes beyond clinical skills. We prepare you to successfully integrate high-demand implant services into your practice, transforming your career by attracting new patients and elevating your practice. And it doesn't end with the course. Completing our program is just the beginning of a new journey. You'll be a part of a community of confident, skilled dentists with ongoing support to ensure lasting success and growth. After all, this is about mastering a skill that can transform your career, just like it did for me. So, are you ready to take your practice to the next level? Visit www.3d-dentist.com, check out our upcoming sessions, and join us to revolutionize your practice. 3D Dentist is truly committed to helping dentists take control of their practice, finances, and future. Now let's get back to this week's episode. All right, I'm sitting here with Dr. Nomi Mujahid.
Yes.
How are you doing, Nomi?
I'm doing great.
Life is good?
Life is good.
What are you doing here?
I'm here to shadow you and learn from you and then get some tips on starting my own practice.
How'd you get here? What made this happen?
So what made it happen was that I basically stumbled upon one of your podcasts. Okay. And I think you were doing a bus tour through Florida.
Right.
So I was on Facebook and it said 3D Dentist. And at that point, I was really into 3D dentistry and digital dentistry. So I was looking up all kinds of different CBCT machines and, same day dentistry and all of that. And I clicked on it and it was just fun to watch you guys go through different, dental schools and talk about some of the real things that us new dentists are facing, coming out with the student debt that we come out with. So that kind of really...
Well, you know how I feel about student debt, right? Yeah. But that's okay. It's real.
Yeah.
It's real. I mean, listen, when you have to pay it, it's real.
Of course.
Yeah. So, all right. And then I believe we met in Charlotte.
We met in Charlotte, right?
And then,
so I basically looked it up and then you were doing a course with them through Sorona. Right. So I was like, okay, let me go. This is my best chance of being able to meet you and kind of pick your brain.
Well, that's an honor. I appreciate that. And then I always tell people, I say you never know until you ask or you put yourself in a position to succeed.
Yeah.
And I think you did that very well.
Yeah.
You came up to me, you had questions, they were legitimate questions. Mm-hmm. You were very open-minded about them. And then, we had a few conversations and I invited you up, I said, why don't you come hang out?
Yeah. Thanks for having me.
Oh, my pleasure.
So far, yeah.
How was your day today?
It was awesome.
What did you see? What did you see that maybe you didn't expect and some things that you did expect?
So I was still a little bit confused about, how all these different technologies come mm-hmm. together. So being able to see you do an extraction real time within those 30 minutes that you did that, do the extraction, place the implant, and then be able to scan and already have your crown plan that you're going to place down the road. That was amazing. That you already had the surgical guide ready. It was all guided. You had the CBCT and the whole treatment plan ahead of time.
And when I tell people that I work out of one room, do I mean that?
Yes, you really do. Every single procedure that you did today was the same exact room.
Yeah.
Back to back, but it was efficient.
And would you say that I work rushed or, with my chicken with the head cut off?
No, you were very relaxed, actually.
Yeah.
And that's something that I really, that was something that was different for me coming from DSO type.
Yeah. Their business model is certainly
right.
different. And I would tell you that what I'm doing 20 years into my career is probably not what I did a couple of years into my career. But I always had this vision of this is where I wanted to get to.
Right.
And I was willing to follow that vision. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what's brought us here, right?
Exactly.
Is you're getting ready to open a practice. Mm-hmm. You're doing a startup in Jacksonville, and what you say is the quote-unquote south side of Jacksonville. Most south sides are not good places to be,
no,
just so you know.
This one is a really nice area.
That's like going on MLK Boulevard, right? So, you know, so let's talk. Let's talk. You know, let's talk about where you're at, what questions you've got for me. But the first, I want to ask you a question. Why did you do a startup versus acquiring a practice?
Great question, because I've been asked that question different ways. And from what my understanding is, and I could be wrong, is that there's something really unique about building something from scratch that's yours and the way you want to practice dentistry. And in my mind, from where I was coming from, it was always like, okay, if I buy into somebody else's practice, yeah, maybe I'll have the patient pool and some money flowing in, but it's not going to be the way I want to practice dentistry, especially with how things are changing with digital dentistry and what you have at hand with being able to do same-day dentistry. So that was one of the things, like, okay, you know what, let me see if I'm able to buy the latest technology and be able to implement it and use it to my own advantage, not for something very unique to the patients and to the people around that. And it's not happening in Jacksonville, and that's it, you know, we need that.
Okay. All right, so let's talk. So so I wish you the best of luck.
Thank you.
I think, look, I'm always, you know, I'm known as a very honest person, generally speaking, probably more too blunt than I need to be. I did a startup 20 years ago, almost 18 years ago. Times were different. Times are very different now. And what I've seen more and more people do is do acquisitions. But I also hear from them that there's a challenges of acquisition is that you're taking over somebody else's problem. You lose 20 to 30% of the patients. You know, you have team turnover. Typically, most of the practices that I've seen acquired that end up adding technology and things, they end up losing half or more of the team members over the first couple of years. So they're, you know, they bought some cash flow, but they also paid for that cash flow. So I wish you great luck and so proud of you for having the guts to do a startup. Yeah. It's not easy,
it's
is it?
No, it's not.
All right, so what's on your mind?
Okay, so I'm opening in about 3 months.
Okay.
And so I'm wondering, one of my biggest fear and what makes me nervous is that if I'm going to have enough patients to start off with.
Well, you're not going to have any patients to start off with. Right. So we know we're there. Right. You know, so to me, the biggest thing I would look at there is I always try to work backwards. Mm-hmm. Okay. And this is the beginning of a conversation we had in Charlotte, was that the first thing I would do for you, I would tell you to do is figure out what your monthly budget is. Okay, not budget, but what your monthly need is. Okay, so that'll help answer the question of will I have enough patients to begin. So if your monthly budget is hey, I got to bring in $10,000 in revenue, that's one thing. If I got to bring in $20,000 in revenue, that's another thing. If I got to bring in $30,000 or $40,000 in revenue, that's another thing. So each one of those things will affect how many patients we need and what type of dentistry we're doing and how hard we're going to have to hustle to get there.
Right.
You know, so I don't know how well you've done that, how detailed you've been in that and how much you've accommodated for pluses and minuses in that. But that would be the first thing that I would answer. Okay. And then I would start looking at to produce that revenue. Okay. How many patients do I think I'm going to need?
Okay.
You know, and a fair number, okay, not a great number, not a low number, but a fair number is probably somewhere in the $400 to $500 ballpark per patient, per active patient, okay? And what an active patient would be is a patient that stays with your practice.
Okay.
Okay. So, you know, that's what I would say is you're going to be your average revenue per active patient that you have. I'm talking about on a yearly basis, not this lifetime value that people say. And I think those numbers are kind of out of touch with today. People move so much now that lifetime value is a very difficult number to look at now. So I would look at that. Okay, have you put together your dollar amount of what your monthly operating costs are going to be?
Not in much detail.
Okay.
I'm just working out my budget for, you know, buying equipment and stuff like that. So that's my next step, to really come up with some hard numbers for that.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hey, podcast family. T-Bone here. Are you a dentist looking to elevate your practice and profits? Then pay close attention. Introducing the 3D Business Mastermind, the dental business coaching program designed for dentists who want to see real results. I've walked the path of practice ownership for nearly 25 years. I know your challenges. I felt your pain. This is your opportunity to overcome the chaos, the busyness, and the financial frustrations of owning a dental practice. Imagine a dental practice where your appointment book is highly productive, doing the dentistry you enjoy, your team is self-motivated, and your profits keep climbing. That's what the 3D Business Mastermind is all about. In this exclusive mastermind, you'll join a league of ambitious dentists driven to elevate their practices. You'll gain access to proven strategies, personalized coaching, and a community that understands your journey. So if you're ready to supercharge your dental practice and enjoy the success you deserve, visit www.3d-dentists.com and take the first step towards a brighter future in dentistry by filling out the 3D Business Mastermind application. Now, let's get to this week's episode. Okay, I'm going to write down an action list for us, okay? Right. So I'm big on action lists. Okay, so the first thing I'm going to write down is a detailed operating budget. We got to figure that out.
Okay.
Because then we can start planning out what we need patients-wise.
Okay.
So that's going to be there, okay?
Right.
What else beyond that? So I can't really answer your question there until I get that number. Mm-hmm. But the questions are going to be, what kind of marketing are we going to do? You know, where are we going to get there? And I think that's a lot of some of the questions that you may have.
Right. So one of the things was, okay, what type of marketing to do, when to start, in terms of credentialing. We talked a little bit about it, but, you know, when is the right time to get started? Once you get credentialed, how long does it take for patients to start recognizing you and then start coming to you? And, you know, how many patients do you get from that route? And then how does marketing play into that aspect to kind of fill in the gaps? So how much do I need to spend, and strategically where to spend it?
Okay. All right. So let's answer the first question of when do we start marketing? Definitely before we open. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now the question is, how far before we open? Mm-hmm. You know, I think there's stages of marketing that we do before we open. Okay. Number one, I think you're doing the most important thing already, which is getting on the insurance lists. So you become credentialed in network. And the sooner you can get that done and get on the list, the better. You know, my goal would be for you to be on the list a month or so beforehand, so people start calling your office. And then you can start doing some announcements, okay, to let people know that you're opening.
Okay.
And then we can start doing, as we get a little bit closer to opening, we can start doing some more specific marketing for the types of procedures and the types of things that you want to do. The things that are more direct response, in other words, hey, I read this, I saw your ad, and I'm going to call today or tomorrow. Those are the kind of things that you do closer and closer to the time you're opening. Look, if I have a broken tooth, and I'm in pain, and I call you today and you say, hey, I'm opening 2 months from now, that's useless to me, right? But hey, if I'm going to be in your area, I'm going to take your insurance, and hey, for the next 6 month cleaning, you know, that might be something I want to know several months in advance.
Okay.
Now, along that line also comes another point that we haven't discussed. I think you should have a team member in your office before you start.
Okay.
Or whether that's you, your wife, whether that's one of your kids, not your kids, but you know, somebody should be answering the phones before you start.
1 month before, maybe.
Maybe not quite that long, but at least, you know, listen, at the end of the day, what you want to do is the day you open, you want to have patients, correct? So think about what do you think it'll take to have patients before you open? Walk me through that.
So having a full-time one team member at least that is able to take phone calls and schedule.
Yes.
Also get the word out there. So right. Go door to door around there are a lot
in
of different
the businesses in the area,
in the areas, and the apartment complexes and the houses and the communities.
And I would say you should be the one doing that.
Right. Yeah.
You know,
no,
you
with me.
Yeah, you should be out there doing it. So one, we have to market to get patients to call our office. Mm-hmm. Okay. Number two, somebody has to answer the phone, and we have to get them scheduled. Right. So all of those things have to happen before you open. Mistakes I made. Mm-hmm. I opened my practice day one. That's when I had a team member, day one. You know, so we didn't have any ramp-up period. I did zero marketing before I opened. So it took 2 or 3 months before I really started seeing some level of consistency with patients. I started without insurance. Okay, so that was, you know, that was also part of the challenges that I faced opening up as well. The other thing that I can't answer for you exactly is the marketing budget that you're going to have to put in, because I don't know what SEO is going to cost, what AdWords are going to cost, what Facebook marketing is cheap. It's a few hundred bucks a month. Right. Okay. And that might be a great option for you is to do social media marketing. It's relatively inexpensive. AdWords become expensive because you're competing with, you know, all the other practices in that area, but you have to put some dollar amount towards that. I'm still a believer in mailers.
Right. So that was my next question, right? So my dilemma is in the whole digital world, everybody is looking up reviews and they're going online and they want to know who you are and your website. And so having a good, clear message through your website versus those mailers that come in and a lot of the time people just look at them and they toss them. Are mailers really a means for you to really get your name out there and really attract their attention so that they go to your website at that point? Or what do you think? Like, are they both equal, or were the website and the SEO is better than the mailers?
Look, the proper answer is today is digital marketing is more important. Okay. But I will tell you, until last week, our practice has done zero digital marketing in 18 years. Wow. Okay. Mm-hmm. But that brings me to another concept. There's a difference in marketing and being marketable. Okay. So let's talk about that. Let me repeat that again. There's marketing and there's being marketable. Okay. So when you say things like, hey, I got a mailer and most patients throw it away, that's because the person isn't marketable.
Okay.
They're not marketing something that people want. They're marketing value. Listen, this whole creating value thing is BS, partly BS in my world. But they're marketing themselves as just another dentist doing the same things every other dentist does and taking the same insurance plans that every other dentist takes. Take it out. Throw it away. Okay. That's marketing. Okay. That's advertising, to be quite frank with you. Then there's being marketable. And marketable is many different things, okay? Marketable could be who you are. Maybe you come with unbelievable credentials, okay? Maybe you want to leverage the fact that you're brown and you want to attract brown people.
There you go.
Okay? Because in the beginning, that's one thing, right? People are comfortable around self-like people.
Familiarity, yeah.
Okay? Maybe you want to market that you open other hours than everybody else. Okay, maybe you want to market that you offer unique services that other people don't offer. Yeah. But here's what's not marketable to me, that we do good dentistry, that we treat you well.
Right.
You know, those things aren't marketable because who doesn't? I mean, what ad or what dentist ever says I do bad dentistry or that says we treat patients badly, right? Those aren't marketable things to me.
So what you're saying is like really what differentiates you? What makes you more unique?
Yeah.
And that's where the value is, like offering them something that no one else is offering.
Or
whether it be an experience, an environment.
Yeah. Well, I would argue the experience environment is, very few offices. Listen, people don't know experience and environment if they never experienced it to begin with, right? And I'm not saying that's not a selling point. I'm not saying it's the priority selling point. Okay. So for me, for example, I look at dental implants. That's important to me in my practice. I don't market, hey, we do dental implants, because so does everybody else.
Okay.
I market that you can get implants done in one location, because that's different.
Right. Okay. Instead of having them referred out and then come back.
Makes sense. There's marketing and being marketable.
There you go.
Okay. I market that we can provide your crown in a single visit.
Right.
In 1 hour.
Yeah.
Okay. That's marketing versus marketable, because that's unique. That's different. Now, we may argue as dentists it's not unique because so many CEREC owners are out there or CAD-CAM owners are out there. But to the lay public, still today, they still don't know.
They still think that it's something cool.
Right.
And when it comes to same-day dentistry, it's not that prominent. And they're looking for that same-day crown or same-day onlay.
And let's look at marketable. And you said something about that other people aren't doing. And I would say that it's not necessarily that. I look at it as what other people aren't telling the patients they're doing. So the example I use is, who knew that some beer had corn syrup in it?
Yeah.
Until somebody told you.
Right.
Correct? So until their competitor said, and we shouldn't badmouth other dentists, but until their competitor said that this beer, our beer, doesn't have corn syrup, mm-hmm. nobody knew that it had corn syrup, correct?
Correct.
So that's marketable. That's something unique that gets people. And I think most marketing people and most dentists overthink marketing. I think your slogan or whatever it is should be very clear and very upfront. It should be something like, we're open when other dentists aren't. Okay, if you use that as your unique sell proposition. Mm-hmm. We provide you same day treatment when other dentists can't.
Okay.
Or when most dentists don't. Whatever fits your personality there. And so to me, those are marketable things that really you need to figure out who you're going to be and what will drive the market. Okay, let me back up. What will drive the market, then figure out who you're going to be, okay? Right. Because you got to get people through the door. You got to get some experience. You got to figure out what you like and don't like. Mm-hmm. You got to figure out what works in your practice. And then some of those dreams about who we want to be and how we want to do things will take care of themselves. We can't box ourselves in so tightly that I'm going to be this dentist, because we may not make it that long.
Yeah.
Okay, so we got to make it there.
And I think I completely agree with you. When I first met you at the 3D Live event, mm-hmm. that's where I was. Okay, this is cool. This is what I want to do. This is what I want to limit myself to. But I had a good conversation with you, and as I started thinking about it more and more, I ended up realizing, no, it's you can't have it right away. You can set yourself up. You can have an end in mind, but you have to work one step at a time to become that. And I think that's where your concept of, you know, general dentistry, mm-hmm. and then moving towards emotional dentistry.
Yeah, that takes time. And I would say that right now you may not even be ready for all of that.
Right, of course.
And from a practice perspective.
But a lot of the people are not even familiar about it.
Right.
So I feel good that at least I know about it and I can look forward to something.
So one thing I would try to impart upon you is the concept of short-term, medium-term, and long-term thinking.
Okay.
Okay. So you know where you want to be. You have an idea. I shouldn't say you know. You have an idea of where you want to be 10 years from now, the type of dentist you want to do, just from the CE courses we've talked about. I have an idea of this vision of what you're dreaming of, mm-hmm. okay? But what I will say to you is that right now, 80% of your energy needs to be focused on the short term.
Yep.
Okay? But we have to keep enough of that eye, the third eye. In our culture, we have third eyes, right? So we have to have enough of that eye that knows what the dream is, mm-hmm. so that we don't make bad decisions here that affect reaching that dream, okay?
Yeah.
But we got to pay the bills. Yeah. We got to earn some financial flexibility. And that's another thing that's very important is people look at me. Okay, and they say, well, you're doing this. And I say, but I created financial flexibility in my life. You know, I lived pretty reasonable the first 5 or 10 years. You know, I was pretty pretty miser in my spending my first 5 or 10 years. I was focused on where I wanted to be, and I created financial flexibility so that when I wanted to try something or do something, I had the ability to do that. So those are important things that you have to keep in mind. You can't be emotional.
Right.
You know, we had this conversation before lunch today. Is at some point we've got to stop being emotional in some of the decisions we make, and we have to be very measured in the decisions we make.
I didn't completely understand what you exactly meant, but now I do.
Yeah.
You explained it more.
You know, and Because, listen, some of these things, dreams we want, they'll be there in 2 years.
Yeah.
They'll be there in 12 months. They'll be there in 3 or 4 years. But we've got to make it that far, okay? And so all these things, we have to be true to who we are first, mm-hmm. and then we can get there. Did I answer some of the marketing questions pretty
yes.
well for you there?
Yeah, you did.
So we're going to I want to develop 3 USPs, unique selling propositions, okay? That's on your action list. So that way, when you do the marketing, we can figure out what it is. In other words, what are you doing that patients can't get somewhere else?
Okay.
And that's your unique selling proposition. Taking insurance isn't it?
No.
Okay, being open Monday through Thursday, 8 to 5 isn't it? Okay, doing good dentistry isn't it? You know, treating people with great care isn't it? You know, when I was starting in the early 2000s, the buzzword was high tech, high touch.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, but that's who doesn't have a high tech, high touch. You know, and again, the challenge is we think as dentists, like I have a high tech office, no yeah. question, correct?
Right.
But we have a different view of what high tech is than what our patients have, right? So we have to be very consumer centric. We have to understand what they believe.
What they're thinking, what they're perceiving.
Okay. And what they're looking at is what problem are you solving for me today?
Right.
You know, and that's what you got to look at. Imagine this. You get to the end of the day, you don't feel tired. You kind of take a look at how your day went and you realize that you didn't work that hard. You had team members that were engaged. You had clinical team members that were doing the heavy lifting for you. You had hygienists that were helping enroll patients in treatment. And you had front office team members that knew what they were doing and were making sure that you were getting paid and that you were scheduled properly. I used to believe this was a pipe dream. I used to believe that the way to increase your revenue and to increase profits was simply working harder. And then I realized that the real key is about working smarter, not harder. I founded 3D Dentists on that simple principle. How we can take different techniques and different services, add them to a practice while making things easier for us. If you'd like to learn more, all you got to do is visit www.3d-dentists.com and look around. If you got any questions, don't ever hesitate to reach out to me directly. Now, let's get back to our show. All right, what else is on your mind? I think we want to talk about team.
Yes.
All right, let's talk about team. Talk to me. What's going on with team? What are your thoughts there?
So how many team members to hire? I think we were touching on that a little bit. Should you have a full-time manager from the get-go mm-hmm. or not?
No.
Okay.
Let's get that out of the way.
Right. So having a full-time assistant who can also help you with those managerial side of things and you're taking care of most of the stuff. You know, having a hygienist, of course, we talked about that a little bit as well. It's like, you know, doing your own hygiene. Yeah.
So let's talk about how many team members mm-hmm. and then we'll talk about what to look for in team members, right? Okay. So I don't think, as much as it pains me to say this, I don't think you start with a hygienist. Okay, do your own cleanings in the beginning. We can't afford we don't even know how many patients we're going to have.
Of course.
Okay, so I think we're both on the same page mm-hmm. there. I think you're going to have at least one full-time person. And then I would probably look at having an on-call person, second person. And you need one full-time person because I never want you to work on patients alone.
Right.
Never want you to be in the room with patients alone. Mm-hmm. I want somebody there all the time. Okay. If you said to me, hey, I want somebody to work the front and the, you know, front as well, I would probably lean towards getting 2 clinical team members.
Okay.
And here's why. A clinical team member that has a personality that can answer phones and do those things. Right now, most of the business work is going to be handled by you and should be handled by you. Okay. You should be putting the checks in. Yes, it's late night. Yes, it's time away from the family, but that's what you got to do. Okay. And there's a specific reason that I believe most startups should do this. Is it lets you know how to do things so that down the road, you have a keen understanding of what your team members, your business team members are doing. Too many dentists are in the dark about how to do these things, why to do these things. Well, my so-and-so at the front tells me that's how it has to be. Mm-hmm. You know, and to me, that first year of putting in checks and doing insurance, I mean, I did the insurance, it was stupid, but I did the insurance claims and things like that, was so important to me because it allowed me to know my business, mm-hmm. know the business, you know, the day-to-day business of dentistry. So I would have a tendency to hire a second clinical person because I think the business part will be done by you. Mm-hmm. And here's why. Let's say, for example, you're cleaning teeth or doing dentistry and you get an emergency. Mm-hmm. Now you have a clinical team member that can step away from the front, take the x-ray, get things set up for you, get our patients processed faster. Okay. Okay. Whereas a front office team member is not going to be able to help with that. Okay. Now, the other thing I want to plant a seed in your mind about, I'm not saying to do it, is to consider virtual services. Okay. There are companies out there that'll answer the phones for you. Okay. There are companies that can remote in and schedule for you. There are companies that can do many of these things. And that may be an option for you before you get open, by the way.
Right.
Is instead of having to, you know, find the right person, all of those things, maybe you hire a virtual service. Now, there's this unbelievable website called Google. Okay, if you go into Google and you type in dental virtual services, right, you can probably find many of those things. There's a wonderful lady by the name of Mary Bornjas in Dental Support Specialties. She's fantastic. She's based out of Ohio, and she can also be a good resource for you.
Okay.
Unfortunately, most of these things aren't as cheap as hiring a person in your office.
Right.
But the beauty of it is you can hire and fire anytime you want. There's no emotion there.
There's no contracts.
Again, each company is going to be a little bit different. But look, it's hard to get rid of people.
Yeah.
Okay. And, you know, and so when you can, one of the benefits of outsourcing is that you can get rid of people easily. There's no payroll taxes. There's no unemployment. There's no potential lawsuits, things like that. It's generally speaking pretty clean.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I would look into something like that for yourself. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Now let's talk about getting good team members.
Right.
Okay. I would believe that your search needs to start now.
Okay.
Okay. And just keep searching and looking. And this way you don't feel a pressure to hire somebody. I want you to have plenty of time. I want you to search. I want you to see what's out there. Because most good people are going to give their current positions 2 to 3 weeks notice.
Right.
Okay. By the time you get an ad out, you've worked through that, it's going to be several weeks before all of that gets through. Next thing you know, we're a month and a half from now,
right,
before you're starting to get serious candidates.
Mm-hmm.
And the next thing you know, a month after that, you're opening up.
Right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So the process starts now. So there's no pressure.
Okay.
Okay.
What mediums would you recommend on those? Indeed.com or have you had Craigslist?
Well, I don't know what works in your area.
Right.
Okay. I can tell you Indeed hasn't worked for me here.
Mm-hmm.
I've always relied on my distributors.
Okay.
Okay. Right. Because one person's junk is another person's
right.
treasure. People are looking. People are looking sometimes to find a place they can work part time, and you can be flexible on hours right now.
Right.
You know. And so those are some of the things that some of the positives that you offer, and I also look at Craigslist. I look at social media. You know, you got to leverage whatever you can. The answer is everything. Okay. I believe in everything that's inexpensive to market with. Indeed costs a lot of money. Craigslist costs $25 to $50 to put an ad out. At least here in Raleigh, it does. And talking to your distributor reps costs nothing. You know, so to me, get as many feelers out there and see what's out there.
In terms of qualities,
mm-hmm.
personality traits to look for.
Yeah.
I think that's a big one, you know.
Yeah.
And then also, Is it better to hire somebody right out of school and then train them on the way you do practice dentistry, perhaps one of those assistants?
Yeah.
Versus somebody who's more experienced?
It's a tough question. You know, let's look. Maybe this is my personality, but my best results have been with people that have minimal to no experience.
Right.
Okay, my best results. That is probably very much indicative of my personality and my temperament. Okay. But I think the easiest way to find quality people is to be very upfront with them in the very beginning. Most people go into interviews with an idea of hiding the warts.
Right.
Okay. Right.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like think about when you went as an associate,
right.
When you went for your interviews, they probably told you all the wonderful things about working there,
yeah,
correct? Nobody tells you any of the bads.
No, they don't.
Right. I do the opposite. I tell you all the bads. And I also say, listen, these people are here because they love it here. Okay. We are a great place. We're going to treat people fairly. We're going to work hard. We're going to enjoy ourselves, but we're going to do great things. Okay, and I believe that you can be very upfront with people and you'll attract the right people just by doing that. Okay, by being upfront. Like if somebody says to me, hey, you know, there's some days my kids have to be picked up before 5 o'clock. I like to listen, it's not going to work. You know, I'm upfront. You know, listen, like I told you today, if there's a traffic problem, you just call the Uber early. You just show up early, right? Don't come be after 7:45 to my office tomorrow, right?
Okay.
But I believe in telling people up front so that we don't have these issues. Cut the weed out.
Right.
Okay, cut through the weeds, get all the formalities out of the way, and just say, listen, we're going to have a great time. We're going to be wonderful. But here are the things that don't work for me. Here are the things I tell people, listen, I'm moody. Okay, there are days where I'm just stay away from me. There are days I'm unbelievably loving. Okay, and all those things. I just tell people. I'm upfront about it. So I think when people say, what qualities should I look for? I would say they'll show themselves if you just tell people what you want.
What you're looking for.
And what the bad. Tell people the bads of your office.
Yeah.
Just tell them, listen, I have no idea what I'm doing. We'll learn together.
Together, right?
Right. And some people are excited by that.
Yeah.
Right, and some people can be like, you know what? I don't want that. And if you hide that from them, they're going to figure it out in 2-3 weeks anyway.
Right, and now you're into it and you've invested time.
Or they're going to leave and now you're back at it.
Right.
Right, so just be upfront with them. If I can give you one advice on team, just be upfront with them.
Okay.
Be upfront about who you are, who you aren't, and the right people will automatically, you'll see it in their face.
Hmm.
Okay, and the right people will just stick around.
Okay.
Okay, it's worked well for me.
Great advice.
And until it doesn't work, keep doing it, okay? Now, if you do this and you interview 20 or 30 people and it doesn't work, then you start hiding things from people, okay?
Okay. Or look and ask yourself what you're doing wrong.
Yeah. Or look for somebody else, you know, or change something in yourself. So have we answered your team questions pretty well?
Yes, you did.
Okay. So again, just to kind of look into this, I'm going to make a list for you. Explore third-party virtual phone services. Okay. Sound fair?
Yeah.
What else is on your mind?
I think the last thing that I want to talk about is some of the business pros. So, as we in dental school, to teach us dentistry, we come out and we work, but we have no idea about the business side of things. Right. And our conversation started with, you know, do you have an operating budget?
Right.
So then, you know, I have a certain amount of working capital.
Okay.
And I know there is no right formula. Each situation is different, how fast you're going to pick up. But in generally speaking, some of the tips, some of the things that you can tell me that will help me along the way of.
Yeah. So look. I think we're made to believe that we have no business sense. Mm-hmm. If somebody tells you over and over again that you don't know business, and you just hear this from all the gurus out there, by the way, who are trying to sell you business services, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
If they say, oh, dentists don't know business, how you'll believe that you don't know business, okay? Business is simple, okay? You take in more than you put out,
right?
Okay? You save for the bad times, okay? Because they all exist. Okay, and you take care of people, and everything will work itself out. Okay, business is also very dependent on you not having a spending problem. Okay, so I would tell you don't have a spending problem, whether that's in your professional life or your personal life. You got to be disciplined about what you want to do. Okay, so let's get that out of the way.
Okay,
the number two thing I want to get out of the way, big mistake, I didn't get a second job when I started my practice. I went to the office. I mean, I was disciplined about going to the office 5 days a week, but I didn't get a second job. And it created so much stress in my life. And I was a newly married person. It created a lot of stress in my marital life, my relationship, because I was, what stress I was having at the office, I'd bring it home. And it really wasn't good. So I will tell you that, get a job. Okay. I don't care what you do. I don't care what kind of dentistry you do. Get a job to pay the bills. Okay. Make it so that your home life is paid mm-hmm. by your job.
Got it.
Okay. Yeah. So that way your practice can focus on your practice. Mm-hmm. So I want to get that second thing out of there. Okay. So I want to make sure that you do that. Okay.
I will.
All right. Now the third thing is relatively simple. Again, in my mind, it's pretty simple. Okay. I call it focusing on the patient. Your boss is the patient, correct? And our patients are after three things. This is all from, you know, people will say this is clinical. Or what, it's all business to me, okay? Patients are about time, fear, and money, okay? What are you doing to value their time? Okay, what hours are you going to be open?
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hello, podcast family. T-Bone here, bringing you our newest live patient implant training. Full Arch Express. For dentists already placing implants and ready to level up and continue building their implant practice, this is the golden ticket. We're diving deep into Full Arch Implants, the hottest game changer in implant dentistry. In this program, we tackle both overdentures and all-on-X fixed hybrids, mastering techniques that are essential for modern, comprehensive dental care. It's about getting your hands on the tools and techniques that will replace the doubt and fear with confidence and predictability. Here's the kicker. There's live patient training right here in North Carolina. You're not just learning theories. You're in the operatory doing real work on real patient from start to finish, guided one-on-one by our expert 3D mentors. You'll learn the nuances of each approach, ensuring you can cater to a wide range of patients to maximize revenue. Speaking of revenue, with me, you know it's not just about the clinical skills. We're bringing business into this aspect too, teaching you how to integrate these advanced services profitably into your practice. So are you ready to rise up to the top in implant dentistry? Join us at the Full Arch Express. This isn't just another course, it's a career-defining leap. Head to www.3ddentist.com to enroll in our next session. 3D Dentist is truly committed to helping dentists take control of their practice, finances, and future. Now, back to this week's episode.
So, I'm in the beginning, I'm thinking about opening from 8 to 6.
But everybody's open 8 to 6.
Okay, then I'll open from 8 to 7. And then I will do Saturdays.
Okay. I'm not telling you what to do and make decisions today, but I'm going to tell you that, you know what our most popular appointment time in our practice is? 7 a.m. Most popular appointment time. Traffic is not an issue like it is at 5 or 6 o'clock.
Right.
You know? And so I would tell you that to have a few mornings that you open up early, maybe you work till 12 or 1 and you go to your second job. Mm-hmm. So you're going to hear this. This is the Indian in me, okay?
Yeah. No,
you maybe you work from 6:30 to 12 o'clock, go to your second job. Okay, maybe you have a day where you go to your second job first, and then you work from 12 o'clock or 1 o'clock to 7 o'clock or 8 o'clock.
Yeah.
I'm not saying forever.
No.
Until you can call the shots.
Right. Of course.
Okay, because now when you send that marketing out, you have something that's marketable. Because people, listen, the people that can afford dentistry have this thing called a J-O-B. They have jobs, and their jobs are 8 to 5 or 9 to 5. Okay, so if one of the things that you can do in the beginning is make it very convenient for them to show up to your office. It's inconvenient for you. It's inconvenient for team members, but that's okay. Okay, the time will come where you can get rid of those hours. Okay, so that's one of the things I did do well in my startup. I had mornings where I was open from 7 to 1, 7 to 2, and I had days where I was open from 1 to 7 or 8 o'clock at night.
Okay.
The evening hours I got rid of first because they were hit or miss whether people showed up or they had traffic or whatever it was. But the morning times, they worked great. In fact, today I started at 7. We're starting the new thing that right now we only have one 7 o'clock appointment per week, and that's on Fridays. Now we're going to have Tuesdays as well. And one of my goals is to try to get our team to start having earlier appointments more often to service the needs of our customers. Okay, so that's time. The second part of time is also, how many times are you going to make me come back?
Right.
Can I get it done today? Can you see me today? Can you do the treatment today? Okay, I'm in pain. Can you see me today? Right. Can you take care of it today? Okay, I need a crown. Do I have to come back in 2 or 3 weeks, or can I get it done today? Yeah. All of those things matter. Valuing the patient's time is an important business lesson.
Okay.
Good. The next thing is fear. What are we going to do to address the fear for our patients?
So I'm taking an oral sedation
class. You're taking a wonderful oral sedation class here at 3D Dentist this weekend. Right. But sedation is one of those things. Okay. Now, I would do some research if I were you. Okay. Coming back to the marketing thing. Call around in your 5 or 10 mile radius. Find out how many offices do sedation. If the answer is 50, 60%, don't market that. I mean, put it in there, but don't market it as heavily. But if the answer is very few, market it. Come back to that unique selling proposition. If you're afraid of dentistry, we have a wonderful solution for you. Okay? That's a unique selling proposition, something people are looking for. And we know people are afraid of the dentist. Okay? What are some of the other fears that patients have? They're afraid of how we treat them, that we're going to admonish them, that we're going to say,
we judge them, right.
You know, hey, how'd you get like this? How'd you let this happen? Why don't you floss your teeth more? Don't say those things. Yeah. You know, just say, come as you are.
Yeah, I completely agree. That's something that I've never done.
Yeah, give them up. You don't seem like that kind of person anyway. No. So how are we addressing fear? Okay, that's a business principle to me. Okay, and the third thing is, how are we addressing money? Okay, money is a very important thing to most people. It's going to be important to you when you start.
Right.
So what are we doing that makes it easier for patients to afford the dentistry we're going to do?
So I think these days financing, being able to break down your treatment into monthly plans is very important.
Yes.
And I've heard some of your, listened to some of your podcasts, you know, in-house financing, discount plans, and stuff like that.
I don't do discount plans.
Yeah. Okay. But how to implement that? How to go about setting that up?
Sure.
And
well, I can help you with that.
Right.
And they're free. So it's not like it's a monthly service. So let's talk about monthly payment plans, because you hit it on the head. Okay. We have to find a way for make it affordable for people to say yes. And the best way to make it affordable is make it a monthly payment. Mm-hmm. Okay. The most important thing that you'll do right now is set up with third-party financing. Okay, I need you to be set up with companies like Care Credit, with Green Sky, with various companies that are out there. Don't pick one, pick them all. Okay, get set up with them. There should be no cost to get set up with these companies, okay? And make it easy for patients to do the payment plans. I want you to experiment with in-office payment plans, but I don't want you to go all in on that yet, because you don't have the money to go all in with it. But the argument I'll make is you're doing nothing anyway, right. So might as well get some revenue, correct?
Correct.
So experiment with it, see if it works, you know.
And how do I gauge that? I mean, of course, your conversation with the patient, their willingness to get started. Mm-hmm. Does the total cost of a treatment plan comes into play?
Yeah, so when we do in-office payment plans, and I can share a good episode on this, but basically to kind of briefly go over it, with in-office payment plans, I set a minimum dollar amount and a maximum dollar amount. Okay, so I set a range. So for example, for me, it was $300 to $2,500. I would do that. Not, it's much different now, but in the beginning, that was my parameters. Okay, if the dollar amount was between this, I would be willing to be the bank. Mm-hmm. Okay. If the dollar amount was less than this, I didn't do it. If the dollar amount was more than this, we went to third party financing.
Right.
Okay.
Okay.
So that'll answer the payment plan question for you. The other part of that is you have to have a financial menu. Unfortunately, you didn't get to see that today, but I need you to hang out with one of my hygienists or my treatment coordinators tomorrow, and you'll see the financial menu being used. Okay. So that way you can understand that as well.
Cerec or Serona cone beam owner? Don't trick yourself into thinking you already know everything there is to know. Because the truth is, when you decide that that's happening, you've merely chosen where to level off your practice. Too often I hear cone beam owners and Cerec owners tell me that they haven't taken any education or training in the last several years. It's a mistake. That technology is constantly evolving, and that technology is getting faster and faster and faster each and every day. You owe it to yourself, you owe it to your practice to get the education that will help you get results for your practice. If you're looking for a resource, don't hesitate to go to 3D Dentist by visiting www.3d-dentist.com, where you will find some of the best cone beam training and Cerec training in the country. I look forward to seeing you at one of our workshops in the near future. Now, let's get back to the show.
Your thoughts on offering free services or free new patient exams in the beginning?
You take the insurance, correct?
Yes.
Right.
But let's say something is attracting some of, whether it be your same day dentistry or oral sedation, or I'm able to see them in a shorter period of time for the emergency, but they don't have insurance or I'm not in network with them. So at that point, is it fair to say, you know what, I want to help you out. Let me go ahead and do a comprehensive exam with the hopes that, you know, that something about me, the way I treat them, my dentistry, my office attracts them.
So are you talking about making that decision once the patient's there, or are you talking about making that decision on your marketing?
Marketing.
I might be outdated
or
in this,
limited, Nomi. Or like limited time offer, grand opening offer for the first six months.
Sure, I'm okay with, look, I'm not the right person on these things, okay? I believe you take people's insurance. That's the discount enough. I don't offer 5% prepayment discount. I don't offer any of those things because I take your damn insurance. Okay. And the issue of not being in network, be in network. Yeah. To make that off the table. Okay. Now, one thing I am coming around to is maybe the option of having in-office plan, these plans, these membership plans. I don't understand them, okay? But Quality Dental Plan comes to mind. And I know there's so many more now, Boom Cloud, all these other things. Are you familiar with what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
These in-office memberships where the patient pays $300 a year and they get two cleanings.
They're two cleanings.
It's like self-insurance, kind of. It's not self-insurance.
Okay.
But I haven't done it. We don't have a need to do it necessarily, but I would tell you that you need to talk to someone who does know about that. So I want to make that action list number four, explore in-office membership plans. Okay. I need you to look into that. I just don't know enough. Okay. But I think that will be fine. Okay. Now, in terms of marketing discounts, look, if you're trying to establish the practice that you tell me you're trying to establish, I don't think you need to do discounts, okay? I think you should provide a unique selling proposition, okay? And I think that's what you should try in the beginning.
And stick with it and see how it goes.
See how it goes.
Adaptiveness.
Okay, absolutely adaptiveness.
Free whitening, something little.
I'm okay with free whitening. I'm okay with that stuff. Right. Give them a tube of whitening. So I'm okay with those. Look, I'm telling you not to do it, and I did those things starting out, and very few of those people are my patients today. Okay, so I'm not a big fan of these discounts. Marketing discounts. I don't mind doing $500 off Invisalign. I don't mind doing $500 off an implant. I don't mind doing a free DSD, digital smile design. I don't mind doing that. But I have a problem with low-cost exams and low-cost x-rays. All that being said, the DSOs are crushing it by doing those things.
Right.
Okay? So take what I'm saying with a grain of salt when it comes to those things.
Got it.
All right. What else is on your mind?
I think
so. I covered time, fear, and money.
Yes.
Okay. So money is about being transparent with the financial menu and making it affordable through payment plans. Okay. You do those things. That's, to me, that's the basic business. Don't spend a lot of money. Keep it simple. Okay. Your overhead's going to be 100% in the beginning. Right. So don't worry about overhead in that sense. Just worry about cash flow.
How long does it take for the insurance reimbursements to start coming in? So, one of the ways
is 2 weeks to 2 to 4 weeks.
Okay. So in the beginning, there's no like, okay, you know, you have to wait 3 months just because it's a new office for the checks to start coming in.
Unless something has changed.
Right.
Okay.
Because I was talking to somebody and they were like, oh, you got to worry about that. I'm like, okay, maybe.
If you take Medicaid, maybe.
No.
Okay. I don't. Look, I'm just telling you, again, it's been 18 years since I've been in a new office, mm-hmm. But we didn't experience that then. Okay. So typically within 30 days, you're going to start seeing your insurance money start coming in. Okay. That's why it's even more important to be credentialed and get all of that out of the way immediately.
Yeah.
In fact, you're not credentialed yet, are you?
It's already in the works.
It's in the works. Yeah. Okay. So that's
I've
so that's
already
not okay.
applied and everything.
Good. Have you chosen which plans you're going to be in with?
So I have a phone call set up next week. Okay. We're going to go over.
Okay. You're talking to Sandy's people.
Yeah. Unlock the PPO.
Yeah. Unlock the PPO. They're great.
Yeah.
They helped me out a lot. Their service cost money when I did it, but it didn't cost me anything. It was free.
And actually,
because their increase in fees paid for it multiple times over.
Pays for itself.
Yeah.
So I guess another thing that we can briefly talk about is technology.
Okay.
Right. So my vision of starting from the get-go with a fully digital office, from having the 3D cone beam, CEREC, Prime Scan, and being able to mill in-house. So do you consider that as setting yourself apart and offering something different and saving chair time as well? Or is that something?
Of course. So listen, I think, look, 18 years ago, this stuff didn't exist.
Right.
Okay. All I can tell you is that most modern offices are starting with digital impressioning. Not everybody's starting with milling.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Most offices are starting with some type of Panorex that's upgradable to 3D or with 3D. Okay. 3D's come down in cost these days. I think those are expected levels of care now. So it's hard for me as a technology lover to tell you that you don't need those things. What I would tell you or caution you on is those things will be there 6 months from now or 12 right. months from now. Okay. We have to make it there. Okay. So if I could set up a situation where I could do a 12-month skip, 6-month skip, if I could set up a situation where the distribution company makes it easy for me to return it if things go south, I'd be all on board with that.
Okay.
So those are some of the things that I would look for as a startup is, can I delay the paying for it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Without significant penalties or costs. And can I get some type of confidence that if this doesn't work, I have some recourse to give it back.
Right.
Maybe it's going to cost you a little bit to give it back.
Right.
Okay. But at least you have some option there. With that being said, with those things in place, I think you're fine. Okay.
Yeah.
So, you know, all those things. So.
Great. Yeah, I think we hit all of the points that I had. Nothing else comes to mind, but.
What are the challenges and fears you're facing?
I think we talked about most of them.
What happens when you get hit in the face?
Right. So sometimes I don't want to think about that.
But you have to.
Yeah.
Because you're going to get hit in the face.
Get up, learn from it. And
you know, social media does, I'm sorry to interrupt. Okay.
Yeah.
Social media does, you know, we read on social media, they make us feel so bad.
That's
okay. They make us feel so bad. And I'm probably part of it, by the way. Okay. But they make us feel so bad for not having the success that someone else, quote unquote, says they're having. I don't care if somebody's producing $1 million a year if they take home nothing. Okay. I don't care if they produce $1 million a year and they take home 100 grand. Okay. For me, it's about what makes you happy and where are you at and are you on track to achieve your goals? Okay. No one knows what type of dentistry you're after. On social media.
Mm-hmm.
No one knows what's really going on in social media. Maybe you have 100 new patients a month and 50 of them are from Medicaid. Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe 50 of them are from free exams that you do.
Right.
Are those really your patients? Maybe you have 10 patients a month and they're doing the dentistry you want to do. You know, so to me, don't get caught up in some of this social media stuff. Don't get caught up in my hype about how technology fixes everything. I believe it does if you have half a personality. Okay, but you know, don't get caught up in some of those things. You know, I think it's super important at this stage because I was so susceptible to those things. I came out of school and I spent a lot of money on CE. It's the best decision I ever made. Okay. But one of the negatives of that is I went and learned from people who were 20, 25 years out that had been through all these challenges and were telling me how great it is today at their stage of their career, but forgot what it was like when they started. Just like I was up front with you. I forgot what it was like 18 years ago. It's easy for me to say, well, just buy it. It's no big deal. Mm-hmm. Or just do it. It's no big deal. Mm-hmm. Because look around. It's no big deal for me. Right? But for you, it's a big deal. So always keep that in mind. Do not try to keep up with other people. Keep up with yourself.
Right.
Okay. Be true to who you are and you'll be fine. All right. So what's your challenges?
Even before I asked, I mean, you already answered.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
No. That's good. That's good. Yeah. That's great. No, that was a great conversation.
All right.
Yeah.
It's pretty easy.
Yeah.
So I'm going to see you back a few times.
Yes, you are.
Yeah. I want you to have a good week.
Right.
I want you to learn as much as you can. I want you to ask some questions to my team members. Get in the trenches.
Okay.
Ask Jesse what it's like as a hygienist. Ask Megan what it's like. Ask Liz what it's like. Ask my assistants what it's like. Ask Michelle Meredith what it's like. You know, ask Joe what it's like. But, you know, I don't think you need an office manager. It's crazy talk.
Right.
Okay. You don't need, you are the manager. You are the leader of your practice. You cannot delegate or abdicate those things.
Right.
Okay, you have to be the leader.
Yeah, my first thing was to, you know, really hire a dental assistant and train her and do it by myself. But slowly, as it picks up, move her towards managing and some of the other things that I can kind of hand off.
Don't worry about that. Right. Why are you so worried about where you're going to put them? You might not even make it that far. Right.
Okay.
She may not hear. She may not like it. Right? Don't worry about those things. Right now, your focus is 6 months.
Okay.
Short term, 80% of everything you think about is what is going to happen to me in the next 6 months. And it's going to be like that for a year or two. Okay. Next six months. Do not worry about what am I going to do with this a year from now. It doesn't matter. Okay. As long as it doesn't do something terrible to you in a year from now, it doesn't matter. It's all about now, the next 3 to 6 months, because the first 3 to 6 months are so important for you. You got to get started
and
right.
Setting yourself up.
You got to set you because it'll mentally eat at you. Okay, you'll get down on yourself. You'll question what you're doing, and you'll start making bad decisions. Okay, so focus 6 months. Don't say I'm going to hire somebody and move her to that. That role doesn't even exist. And it won't exist. Okay, just focus on what you need right now.
Sounds good. Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
No problem.
Yeah.
If you've taken sleep apnea training to only get back to your practice and not be able to reap the benefits, then you need to listen to this message. I've teamed up with Dr. Aaron Elliott, and we provide a level one sleep training that's focused on implementation. It's not focused on all the science. It's not focused on all the things that could possibly go wrong or go right. It's focused on how do I get my team on board and how do I make this a part of my practice that's not complicated. So, if you're looking for sleep apnea training that just gets you started, that's down to business, that's not full of any fluff, then you need to take our level one implementation program. You can find out more by visiting www.3d-dentists.com and look for our sleep apnea implementation program. We look forward to seeing you at a seminar soon.